it was my destiny this morning to be in place of Rabbi White. He had to go out of the country. And, you know, these things happen. And since I'm the fellow who runs this operation, so the burden falls upon me to try and walk into his in his footsteps. The topic is going to be the same. He was going to talk about Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And when I meet him next, I'm going to ask him what he really had in mind to say. We may very well have thought of precisely the same thing. All right, so we're going to start. I think it's becoming the in thing these days to ask anybody who has a cell phone to please turn it off before class begins. Even if it is the Prime Minister calling you from Russia, he can wait till after this year. Before I get to Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot as an introduction, what is Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot? We're going to get to it in greater detail, but it basically is the heart and the substance of the Musaf prayer on Rosh Hashanah. Every Shmona Esrei during the course of the year has 19 brachot. It's called Shmona Esrei, but there are really 19 brachot. Every Shabbos and Yantiv Shmona Esrei has a total of 3 brachot. Every Shmona Esrei begins with the first 3 from Elokeinu v'Elokeinu Atenu until Hakel HaKadosh. The first 3 brachot are always the same. The last 3 brachot in every Shmona Esrei are always the same, from Ritzei until Hamavarech et Amo Yisrael Bashalom. What differentiates one Shmona Esrei from another is what lies between Hokel HaKadosh until Ritzei. So on any weekday, there are 13 brachot in the middle, from Atah Honein La'odam Da'at until Shoveya Tefillah. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's one bracha, making every Shabbos and Yom Tov Shmona Esrei a total of 7 brachot. The only exception is Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, when between Hakel HaKadosh and Ritzei, between the first 3 and the last 3, there are 3 in the middle. And these 3 brachot that were composed by the men of the Great Assembly when Jews returned from the Babylonian exile to establish the Second Commonwealth, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, are the ones who composed the brachos of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Aside from the beauty and the majesty of these 3 brachot, we will investigate what other profound meaning they may have understood or wanted to transmit to us through these 3 brachot. And they may therefore very well be fitting for the beginning of the Jewish year, for every Jew to know and to understand and to study, and that's what we're going to try and do. But in order to get there, I want to begin with a question that is asked by the Bet Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Karo, the great author of the Shulchan Aruch, asked, and there I have it on the first sheet, only one day, really every Shabbat, there's something very fascinating about the Shmona Esrei of every Shabbat, which sets it off from the Shmona Esrei of every day or every Yantif, and that is on any given day, Shachrit, Mincha, Marib, the same Shmona Esrei. On Yantif, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Marib, Shacharit, Mincha, all the same Shmona Esrei. Except for Shabbos. Every Shabbos, the Friday Shmona Esrei has one text, Shabbos in the morning a second, and Mincha a third. They're completely different. Every Shabbos. And there we have it. Friday night, what do we say? Atoki dashed at Yom HaShvi'i L'Shemecha You sanctified the seventh day for your name's sake. Tachlit maaseh shamayim v'aretz. This was the completion of the act of creating heaven and earth. Ubeirachto mikol hayamim. You blessed Shabbos from all of the days. V'kidashto mikol hazmanim. And you sanctified him that day from all other times. V'chein katuv b'toratecha. And so it says in your Torah. And we say, Vayecholu Hashemayim v'haretz. This is the Shmon Esrei that we say Friday night. Vayecholu Hashemayim v'haretz b'chol zman. That's the Shmon Esrei. We come to Shabbat Shacharit in the morning. Completely different text. It's not the same Shmon Esrei. And there it says, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko, let Moshe be happy, which was given to him as his portion. You called him your trustworthy, faithful servant. Klil tif edet, a crown of majesty and beauty. You placed upon his head. When he stood before you at Mount Sinai. Remember, this is Shabbos. And this is what we're talking about, Shabbos in the morning. And two tablets of stone, horin biyado, he brought down in his hand, v'chatuv b'hem shmirat Shabbat. And in those two tablets, it tells us about observing the Shabbat, v'chein katuv v'toratecha, and so it says in your Torah, and we quote, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat la'asot et ha-Shabbat. And then we go on to say, v'lo netato Hashem elokeinu l'goy ha-ratzot, you didn't give it. God, our God, you didn't give it to the nations of the world. You did not give this as an inheritance, our King, to those who serve the idols. The uncircumcised do not rest on this day. You gave it to your people Israel with great love. Okay, so that's the Shmon Esrei of Shabbat in the morning. Not the same like the Shmon Esrei of Friday night. When we come to Mincha, it's a whole new story. And remember, this is different than any other Shmon Esrei of any other day. On any Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, it's the same Shmon Esrei. We begin with Atachonein, and we go through all of the 13 brachot, it's all the same. Every Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, the same Shmon Esrei. Not Shabbos. When we come to Mincha, then we say Ato Echad v'Shimcha Echad, and it's fascinating. The Mincha Shmon Esrei of Shabbos is so radically different than the other two. There's something so otherworldly about Mincha. You are one, and your name is one, and who is like your people Israel, Goy Echad Ba'aretz, one nation in the land. I mean, obviously, we look forward to that today, of course. Who is like your people Israel, one people hated and despised upon the face of this earth? We are unusual, we're exceptional, but I don't think that that's what they meant. When they wrote this, they meant Mi ka'amcha, who will, like your people, one people outstanding upon the face of this earth. Tiferet gedula, the beauty of greatness, Vateret Yeshua, and the crown of salvation. Wow! Yom Menucha Kedusha L'Amcha Natata, a day of rest and holiness you gave to your people. And what a poetic beauty now. Avraham Yogel, Avraham is going to be full of joy. Yitzchak Yeranim, Yitzchak is going to sing. Yaakov Uvonav Yonuchupo, Yaakov and his sons will rest on that day. And what kind of a rest is it going to be? Menuchat Ava Unedava, Menuchat Emet Vamuna, Menuchat Shalom V'Shalva V'Hashgei Tadetach. Wow. What a description of peace and tranquility and safety and security. This sounds like an otherworldly Shmon Esrei. The question of the Bet Yosef is, why indeed are there three different texts for the three different Shmon Esreis of Shabbos? Something that does not happen on any other day of the year. The Bet Yosef answers the following. He says that in history, there are three unique and outstanding Shabbatot. There is Shabbat Bereshit, and when he says Shabbat Bereshit, it does not mean how we commonly use the term the Shabbos after Sukkot when you read Parashat Bereshit. That's not what it means. Shabbat Bereshit means Shabbos is called the Shabbat of the beginning, of creation. Shabbat Bereshit means the first Shabbat that was experienced by the world. There is a second Shabbat in history, and that second Shabbat is Shabbat Sinai. The year 2448, when Jews came out of Egypt, 3 months later, they arrived at Sinai, and Torah was given to the Jewish people at Sinai, and it was given on Shabbos. There is a third Shabbat, and that third Shabbat does not even talk about the day Shabbat, but it describes an epic, a period, an era in world history. The Messianic era is called the Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umenucha L'Chayei Ha'olamim. There's going to be the great day that's going to be completely Shabbat. That refers to the period of Mashiach, when indeed there will be a period of peace, tranquility on the face of this earth. So the Bet Yosef says there are 3 tefillot of Shabbat. The 3 tefillot of Shabbat correspond to the three great Shabbatot in history. And you can see Friday night is obviously Shabbat Bereshit. What are we talking about over there? The Shabbat that was the completion of heaven and earth. And what do we quote? Vayichulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz V'Chol Tzom. We're talking about creation. What are we talking about Shabbos in the morning in Shemona Esrei? Shabbos in the morning, we are describing the events that took place at Sinai. Moshe is standing at Sinai and he comes down from the mountain with two tablets in his hand. You gave him Torah. The description, Shabbos in the morning, is the description of the second great Shabbat in history, which is the Shabbat of Matan Torah. What are we describing at Mincha? Of course, as I said, we're describing something that's otherworldly. It's not this world. Not the one that we know yet. The one that we look forward to with great anticipation. There's going to be a third great Shabbat, the day that will be all, or the period and epic in history that will be all Shabbat. And then we're describing a period of time that you will be one, your name will be one, and then who will be like your people Israel. Avram is going to be full of joy, Yitzchak is going to sing, Yaakov and his children will have complete and total rest, tranquility, peace and security in that period of time. That's what the Bet Yosef answers. 3 tefillot of Shabbat, each one corresponding to another one of the great Shabbatot in history. I want to take it a step further, or maybe take it in a slightly different direction. On the other side, we have the 13 articles of the faith. Every few years, I come back to the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam Maimonides, who articulated for us and wrote it, 13 Articles of the Faith. I always say, this is the kind of thing that if somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and asks you, please tell me the 13 Articles of the Faith, you should be able to roll them off one after another. And if you haven't been able to do it up until now, by the time this class is over, you will be able to do it. And the fact is that maybe one of the New Year's resolutions we make is that we should say the 13 Animamins every day, if not after davening sometime during the course of the day. This is what sets us off from all other people on the face of this earth. And it was Maimonides, the great Rambam, who codified and wrote them out so clearly. We may make it a little easier for you during the course of this year, but we're going to start the 13 Articles of Faith. They basically are the following. 1. He exists. God exists. 2. He is not physical. 3. He is eternal. Wait, do I have, no, no, I skipped one. You see, I haven't done it in a while. He exists. He's one. He's not physical. He is eternal. To Him alone do we pray. Again, once more. God exists. Number two is that He is one. One God. One God. Number three is that He is not physical. Number four is He is eternal. Hoya, hove, v'yihyeh. The fifth one is to Him alone do we pray. And I'm going to, for there, you will soon see why it is that I am dividing them. The 13, I am dividing them into 5, 4, 4. I will explain that soon. We have one unit. I put the first 5 together as one unit. The next 4 are that God communicates with man through prophecy, and therefore the words of the prophets are true. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets, than all who preceded him, and all who will ever come after him. God forbid, if we don't believe that Moshe is the greatest of all prophets, then Torah is finished. It means that somebody can come afterwards and negate, abrogate, or remove, or disagree with something that was said by Moshe, then it's all over. It's all over. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe. And then finally, this Torah will never be changed. It's not going to be, nothing will be added, nothing is going to be subtracted, it's not going to be edited. The entire Torah as it was given to us by Moshe remains eternal, just as God. So in these, again, these four, God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never change. The last four are a unit on their own as well. The last four are that God knows what we think and what we do. He knows. He knows everything about us. He certainly knows us better than we know ourselves. For what purpose? So the next is, because God rewards and punishes. By virtue of His knowledge about us, He rewards us for the performance of mitzvahs, and if chas v'sholom, otherwise He punishes. 12 is, of course, the most famous of the 13, talking about the great rewards. So number 12 is an imam, and we believe with perfect faith in the coming of Mashiach, which is the great period in history, and then post-history, not like post-Zionism or post-anything else, post the great history comes the period of Tchiyat HaMetim, an even more glorious moment, an epic and era in history, the resurrection of the dead. So, let's see, should I try all 13 in one breath? Let's see. God exists. He is one. He is not physical. He is eternal. To Him alone do we pray. He communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never be changed. God knows what we think and what we do because He rewards and He punishes. And the great rewards are the coming of the Mashiach and Tchias HaMetim. Okay. All right, I cheated. I took a few breaths in the middle. Those are the 13 articles of faith. This is what separates and differentiates us, not only from all people on the face of this earth, but also separates and differentiates us from other groups within Judaism proper. That's it. In other words, the Torah, believing Jew, this is his creed, and this is his faith. some 200 or more years after the Rambam codified these 13 articles of the faith, came one of the great medieval Jewish philosophers, Rabbi Yosef Albo, and he wrote a sefer. Rabbi Yosef Albo wrote a sefer called Sefer Ha'ikdim, the book of fundamental principles, where he took the 13 articles of the faith of Maimonides and he reduced them from 13 to 3. When I say he reduced them, it does not mean that any one of them does not apply, but he said that all 13 can be subsumed under 3 main headings. And that's really what the Rambam himself meant. Except when the Rambam listed the 13, he listed the major categories and that which flows automatically, inexorably, and naturally from the fundamental principles. The 3 fundamental principles of Rabbi Yosef Albo are Mitzvot Hashem, the existence of God, Torah min Hashemayim, that Torah comes from heaven, revelation at Mount Sinai, and Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, reward and punishment. Those are the 3 major categories. And therefore, I divided the 13 of the Rambam into 3 groupings, 5, 4, 4, because I anticipated that I was going to tell you what Rabbi Yosef Albo says. The first 5 of the Rambam are all subsumed under the category of Mitzvot Hashem, the existence of God. He exists, he's one, he's not physical, he's eternal, and to him alone do we pray. The second category is Torah min Hashemayim, the Torah comes from heaven. That includes numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9, that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moses is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe, and that Torah will never change. And the third category is Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence, Schar V'onesh, reward and punishment. And under that general heading, the Rambam wrote, 10, 11, 12, 13. God knows what we do and what we think. He rewards and he punishes the coming of the Mashiach, the period of the resurrection of the dead. How does Rabbi Yosef Albo know that those are the 3 major categories of our creed? In his great Sefer, which is divided into a number of major sections, section 1, chapter 4, Rabbi Yosef Albo says that this was already enunciated clearly before the Rambam. I imagine that what bothered Rabbi Yosef Albo was, did the Jewish people really have to wait for the Rambam to enunciate clearly the principles of our creed and our faith? We didn't know it before. Nobody was around to teach it to us before. Were they unknown before us? He says, absolutely not. They were already enunciated and clearly written to the Jewish people by the men of the great assembly. And where did they do it? The 3 brachot of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. The heart of the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to take a quick look at Malchiyot. Let me first give you the structure of the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, as we said, is the only Shmoneh Esrei that has a total of 9 brachot. The first 3 from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei until Okel HaKadosh, the last 3 from Ritzei until HaMevarech HaTamor Yisrael Bashalom, and in the middle, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Malchiyot talks about God's majestic kingdom on the face of this earth. Hayom Harat Olam, this is the day in which you brought the world into being. This is the day on which we crown God again every year. He is HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, the King. It's also the day of Zichronot. It is the day on which God remembers everything that took place on the face of this earth, and He is going to judge men and countries and peoples on the face of this earth. The decisions of what will take place in the year to come. Will there be plenty? Will there be hunger? Will there be peace? Will there be war? All of that is going to be decided on Rosh Hashanah. And we have a major stake in this Rosh Hashanah. We have a major stake. And then Shofarot. And we will get soon to the idea that is so eloquently expressed in Shofarot. There's something so poetic about this Shmoneh Esrei. It's beautiful, and we're going to try and do as much as we can. Now, the structure is Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Its internal structure is the following. In Malchiot, there are 10 passages in Tanakh that talk about God as King. In Zichronot, there are 10 passages from Tanakh in which we see God described as the one who remembers. And then Shofarot, 10 passages in Tanakh that talk about the power, the might of the sound of the shofar and its significance. Okay. Just a slight correction. It's not really Tanakh. When you'll get to Shmoneh Esrei, you will see that the order, the internal structure and the order of each bracha is 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Ketuvim, not Nevi'im. After Torah comes Ketuvim, Divrei Kodshecha, and then Va'ayidei Avodecha HaNevi'im, through the prophets was written, then comes 3 psukim from Nevi'im. And the Mefarshim say the reason for this is because the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei is following chronological order. All of the psukim of Ketuvim from the holy writings come from Tehillim. And Davar HaMelech's Tehillim preceded all of the prophets. So therefore it's 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Ketuvim, 3 psukim from Nevi'im, and then a final closing pasuk from Torah. So there are 4 psukim from Torah, 3 from Ketuvim, and 3 from Nevi'im. That's the internal structure of each one of these brachot, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Let's take a look at Malchiot. I mean, you'll recognize it immediately. Malchiot begins with Olein Lishabeach. The one time during the year that Olein Lishabeach isn't the end of davening when everybody is in the process of leaving, but it's right there in the very heart of the of Shmoneh Esrei. Olein Lishabeach Ladon Hakol. And what is the Olenu about? What's the Olenu describing? The Olenu is describing a period in which God will be crowned King of the entire earth. Olenu Lishabeach Ladon Hakol. It is our duty to praise the Master of all Atayt Gedulah LeYotzeh B'Reishit, to give greatness to the one who created the very beginning. Shelo Asanu Kitayei Ha'aretzot. He did not make us like the nations of the world. Velo Samanu Kimishpachot Ha'adama. And He has not made us like the families of the of this world, the families of the earth. Shelo Sam Chalkeinu Kehem. Our portion is not like theirs. V'god Aleinu K'chol Amonam. Our lot is not like all of their masses. By the way, this is something that I don't think they say it in Chutzaretz. I don't think the Siddurim for many years, the Siddurim never had this in Chutzaretz, but here, there it's so they always said it, that they bow down to nothingness and emptiness. They pray to a God who cannot help. And of course, this is the point at which the entire congregation bows in shul. We bend and we bow and we praise the name Melah Malchei Halacha Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Should note that Shemayim Yosadorot. He spread out the heavens. He made the foundations of the earth. Moshe of Yekaro, and his precious dwelling place is Bashamayim Mimal Shinat, the heavens above, Shinat Uzal, and the presence, the great strength of his presence is in the very heights. He is our God, there is none like him, our King is truth. Efes Zulatol, there is nothing aside from him. As it says, Bitorato, Yodato Hayom, Vashivota Elohim, you should know today and take it to your heart that God is the God in heaven above and in the earth below. There is none other. Therefore we hope to remove all idolatry, and you will be king over the entire earth. And then everybody will bow down to you. All tongue will swear before you. Before you, God, they will bend and they will fall. All of them will accept upon themselves that all malchuteth of the yoke of your kingdom. I mean, you hear what's being said in Malchiot. What's being said in Malchiot is God as king of the world. And you will be king above them speedily forever. Kingdom is yours. And into eternity, you will be king in great honor. Here it is. We come now to the first pasuk that's going to make up the 10 psukim of Malchiot. As it says in your Torah, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed, God will be king forever. That appears in Parashat B'Shalach, right at the end of the Shira, at the end of Oz Yashir. We say it every morning in Davin. This is the first time that God is described in Torah as king. V'nemar, here comes the second pasuk. Lo hibit oven b'yakov lo ra omol b'yisrael Hashem l'kavimo tuat melech bo. Here's where Bilam makes his way into the Musaf Shimon Esrei. This was said by Bilam. Bilam said that God has not seen sin in Jacob, nor has he seen toil in the house of Israel. God is with him, tuat melech bo. The friendship of God is in him. The friendship of the king is in him. Second time in Torah that God is referred to as king. And then the third pasuk that's brought is pasuk in Zot Havracha Vayhi Vishun Melech. God was king over Israel. Behit Asef Rashi Yom, when the heads of the people are brought together, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, when the tribes of Israel are together. So, as I said, every one of the three Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot will begin with three psukim from Torah. Then will come three psukim from the Ketuvim, which is from Tehillim, Ubedivrei Kotshecha, and in your holy words, Katuv Leimor, it says so. And then finally, after that, Va'ayidei Avodecha HaNeviim, everybody starts singing along with the Shliach Tzibur by that point already. Everybody knows that. Va'ayidei Avodecha HaNeviim, Chazul Leimor. And we have the psukim from Neviim, magnificent, each one majestic. And then in the bracha will come the fourth pasuk from Torah. And by the way, what's fascinating about Malchiot is there is really no fourth pasuk in Torah that describes God as king. So what is the fourth pasuk that's used? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what we're going to say. Because Ein Lecha Malchut, there is no greater expression of God's being king than the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Because at that point, who was it that said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? It was the children of Yaakov said it to their father on his deathbed, and they wanted to tell their father that they accept upon themselves all Malchut Shemayim, the yoke of the heavenly king. That's Malchiot. I'd have to give you a whole magazine. All that I gave you, all that I... And believe me, until I decided, until I made the great decision of how much section of each one I was going to Xerox for you, I went through an extremely trying and nervous time. But now you'll see, you'll get to it. And I say, after the first three Pesukim of Torah, it will be B'divrei Kodshecha Katuv Lemar, and then it will be V'alidei Avodecha HaNeviim. You'll come to the Shmoneh Esrei. You're going to see that I told you the truth. You see it. Says Rabbi Yosef Albo, what is the bracha of Malchiot? The bracha of Malchiot is a declaration by the Jewish people that we believe in God, that He is one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That He is not physical. That He is eternal. Hashem Yimloch. What was the first pasuk? Hashem Yimloch. God will be king la'olam forever. And to whom do we pray? To Him alone do we pray. He says the men of the great assembly, when they composed the Malchiot, they had in mind that on Rosh Hashanah, at the beginning of the year, the Jews should pledge allegiance to the creed and the faith of the Jewish people. What makes me a Jew? What makes me different? What is it that I believe? And therefore the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei becomes so terribly significant and so very important. Because this is it. This is when we say what it's all about, what we believe. You come to Zichronot. Zichronot and Shofarot is pure poetry. Atozochir Maaseh Olam. God, you remember? You remember Maaseh Olam, that which happened from the very beginning. Ufokei Kol Yitzurei Kadem. You recall to knowledge all of the creatures from the very beginning. Lefonecho niglu kol ta'lumot, before you are revealed all secrets. Do you hear what we're describing here? We are saying that there is hashgacha pratit, that there's divine providence. God knows what we think. God knows what we do. V'hamon nistarot shemi b'reshit, and the mass of secrets from the very beginning. Ein shichcholet neichi seichvodecho. There is no forgetting before your divine honored throne. There's nothing that's concealed from before your eyes. You remember everything that was done. Every creature, not a single creature, is hidden from you. We believe this with perfect faith. Everything is revealed and known before you. Hashem Elokeinu, God our God. Sofer umvavit, you look and you see at Sof Kol HaDorot until the very end of all generations. There's no barrier of time before God. God lives in all time periods at one moment. Kitavi chok zikaron, because you bring the law of memory, lihipakeit kol ruach v'nefesh, that every spirit and soul should be remembered, lihizacher ma'asim rabim, v'hamon b'riot la'in taklit, so that there are remembered the many deeds that were done by the many creatures. Meireshit kazot hadata, from the very beginning you told us this, umilufanim, and from before otarki lita, you revealed it. Ze hayom chilat ma'asecha. This day, Rosh Hashanah, is the beginning of all of your deeds. This, it doesn't really mean, here we have to explain, it doesn't mean that Rosh Hashanah is the first day of creation. Chof Hei, the 25th day of Elul, that year, first year, was the first day of creation when heaven and earth came into being. But the first great Erev Shabbat, the day on which man was created, was Rosh Hashanah. Zayom Tchilat Masecha, man came into, was brought into being. Zikaron, this is a commemoration of the first day, the Yom Rishon. Kichot Yisrael Hu, Mishpat LeKeYakov, it is a law for Israel, and it is a time of judgment for the God of Yaakov. Va'al HaMedinot Bo Yeyameh, yes, this is the day of judgment, and about the nations of the world, it will be said, Ezalachedev, which one is destined for the sword, Ve'ezalashalom, and which one will have peace. Ezalarov, Ve'ezalasova, which one will experience hunger, and which one will experience abundance. Ubriot bo yipokedu, and each individual creature will be remembered on that day. Lahazkiram, they are remembered. L'chaim b'lamavet, to life and death. Milon yifkav gayom hazeh, who is not remembered on this day. The memory of all creation comes before you. Everyone's deed and his task, and the deeds that are done by men who act and walks. Didn't we say that God, Rambam wrote that God knows what man thinks and what man does? Machshavot Adam, the Tavulot Adam, Yitzrei Malaleish, Ashrei Ish. Fortunate is the man Shelo Yishkachecho, who will not forget you. Ven Adam Yitaris Bavki Darshecha LaOlam. Those who seek you out LaOlam Lo Yukasheli will not stumble. V'lo Yukolnu LaNetzach Kolachosim Doch. And those who take refuge in you, V'lo Yukolnu LaNetzach Kolachosim Doch. Those who take refuge in God will never be humiliated. We have to, I think we've already reached the point. I think we've reached the point already. Most of us, certainly all of us here, if they keep telling us time and time again, it gets a little upset. You know, ein pitaron tzvai, there is no military solution. I'm not so sure about that, okay? But aval ein pitaron medini, there is no political solution either. Ein pitaron kalkali, there is no economic one either. I don't think another Hyatt Regency is going to bring peace to the so we're really backed in, not to a corner, but into an extremely a beautiful position of realizing once and for all that ein lano amili hisha'ein, there is nobody upon whom to depend, ella al avinu shabashamayim, our Father in heaven. There's nobody else. Unfortunately, we live in a generation. There's no leadership. There is no leadership. There are no statesmen anymore. There are politicos, guys who came up the ranks by sweeping the local office of labor or Likud. There are no great people anymore. You know, I had to get that in. I had to get something here. You know, I couldn't survive a whole shiur without that. So you forgive me. But that's what he's saying. Dorshecha, those who seek you out, lo'olam lo yikoshelu, will never stumble. V'lo yikomu lanetzach kol hachosim doch. And those who take refuge in you will never be humiliated. That's it. That's I think that's what this Rosh Hashanah is all about. So what are we talking about over here? We are describing a God whose divine providence extends to the whole world. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. He therefore rewards and he punishes. That's what it's all about. So the bracha of Zichronot describes that pillar of Jewish thought and belief, the pillar of Hashgacha Pratit. Then comes Shofarot. Shofarot is so beautiful. Yes. No, about that you're going to have to check in your mouth. I can't remember everything. And if I take you through all of the 30 psukim, you know, we'd never get out of here today. Yeah, you're going to have to make these crucial decisions. Okay. Atonik leisa ba'anan kivodecha. You know, when you think of shofarot, you think it's all shofarot. No, about the sounding of the shofar, but it's about a unique and very special sound of the shofar of Sinai. Atonik leisa banan kvodecha, you revealed yourself in your cloud of glory, al-an kodshecha, to your holy people, the daber imam, to speak with them. Min hashamayim, from the very heavens, ishmatam kolecha, you let them hear your voice. V'nigleita aleihem, and you will reveal to them ba'arplei tor, in clouds of purity. What are we talking about over here? This is the magnificent poetic description of revelation at Mount Sinai. The Jewish people are standing at the foothills of the mountain and God descends from the heaven. This is such a basic and a fundamental principle of Jewish belief. And here it is. We say it so clearly on Rosh Hashanah. Gam kol ha'olam kulo chol mipanecha, the entire world trembled from before you. U'b'riyot b'reishit chordu mimecha, and all the creatures from the very beginning were full of fear. B'galot ha'malkeinu al Sinai, and here it says it clearly. When you, our king, revealed yourself on Mount Sinai, l'lameid la'amcha, to teach your people Torah u'mitzot. We believe be'emunah shlema that Torah is min ha'shamayim. V'tashmi'im, and you let them hear et hod kol lecha, the majesty of your voice, v'dabrot kol shechom milahavot esh, and your holy words came out of the flames of fire. V'kolot uverakim aleim nigleta, you were revealed to them with the sounds and with the thunder and lightning. Shofar, why is it called Shofarot? Because the most unique sound at Sinai was the sound of the Shofar. All of the other sounds of Sinai were sounds that we've heard throughout history. Lightning, thunder, the natural rumble of a world sort of shaking. But there was one unique sound, and that's the sound of the Shofar. The sound of the Shofar. That's Sinai. U'b'kol Shofar Haleim Hofata, you revealed yourself to them with the sound of the Shofar. Ka'katuv b'toratech, as it says in your Torah. And here, in this first paragraph, we do have the Psukim. Vayehi v'yom ha'shlishi, it came to pass on the third day, b'hi yot ha'boker at morning, vayehi kolot u'brakim, there was lightning and thunder, v'onon koved al ahar, and a heavy cloud over the mountain. The kol Shofar Chazak Ma'od, and the strong, very strong sound of the Shofar. Vayecherat kol ha'am asher b'machaneh, and the entire nation that was in the camp trembled to Nema, and it says, vayehi kol ha'shofar ho'leit v'chazek mi'od, the sound of the Shofar continued, different than every other sound of the Shofar. Every other sound of the Shofar gets weaker as it continues until it ends. And this is the sound of a Shofar, the divine Shofar, that gets stronger and mightier. Moshe Yedaber of Sinai. The Chol Ha'am Roim Et HaKolot, they see the sounds, that Halapidim and the torches, that Kol HaShofar, that Ahor HaShem, Vayar Ha'am, and the people saw Vayanu, and they turned backwards, Vayangu Medachok, and they stood to the distance. So what is Shofarot all about? A major pillar of our faith, that God did indeed speak with the Jewish people at Sinai. He taught them Torah and Mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yosef Albo therefore says that the men of the great assembly, when they composed these three brachot, were really telling us the pledge of allegiance of a Jew, that he should say on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year, that he again reaffirms that he believes in the existence of God, in divine providence, and in Torah and Hashemayim, that Torah comes from heaven. And, as Rabbi Yosef Albo himself says, when the Rambam said the 13 articles of the faith, he was really taking the three major pillars and expanding them to include everything that should be included in them. So it makes it a little easier for you to have to remember only three pillars of the faith, Malch Yetzitron, Ob and Shofarot. But you shouldn't look for the easy way out. You should try and learn the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. And as I say, you know, we do have to make certain resolutions, and maybe one of the resolutions should be to say an imamin every day. Now, some years ago, after I had learned Rabbi Yosef Albo, this is part of a shiur that I gave some years ago, I began to collect threes. People have different hobbies. People collect stamps. People collect, what do kids want? Pokemon? What are the kids playing? You know? Is that what it is? I mean, that people collect all sorts of things. Now it's, what do you mean, the telephone cards, understand? Well, that's going out already because everybody has a telephone. They don't use the... All right. So I collected threes. Everybody can have a meshuggah and a hobby. And here I'm just going to give you a number of examples of the threes that I collected, and then you can go home and drive everybody crazy and try and figure out a whole bunch of others. I believe that these major themes appear not only in Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, but they appear in many, many other places. There was once a moment in my life at which I had a list of 27 threes. Now, of course, it'll take hours. I'm not going to do that. For that matter, I don't think I remember all 27 anymore. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was Avraham Avinu? What was the great message that Avraham brought to the world? Avraham, who comes out from Ur Kasdan, the magnificent description of that the Rambam gives of Avraham Avinu, a world that had fallen into idolatry, had forgotten that there was a God who created the world. Ad shenolad eitan zeh, until that mighty one was born, whose name was Avraham. He grew up in a society that worshipped idols, he grew up in a family that worshipped idols, and he worshipped with them. But in his youth he began to question. He had emuna problems. He couldn't believe this kind of stuff. There was something that bothered him about it. And he questioned, is there not a creator who brought everything into being? He began to question at age 3, and by age 40, by dint of his own genius, the Rambam says, he arrived at a decision that there is a God. And he made it his task to bring the message of one God to the world. How many times have I quoted in the past the prologue and the epilogue of Johnson's book, what is it, Paul Johnson? The History of the Jews? If you didn't read the book, that's also I'll make it easier for you. You don't have to read the 500 pages of the book. Just read the prologue and the epilogue. And everything in the middle is just commentary. So, he's a guy, Johnson, and he decided that he wants to study the Jewish history. And he wants to know what happened from the moment that Abraham walked out of Ur of the Chaldees. His conclusion after 500 pages was that the world became a far different place because of Abraham. He says, we may or may not have achieved the knowledge that Avraham Avinu achieved. Chances are, he says, we would never have done it. But that man changed the course of all of history. You know, sometimes we think if we say it about ourselves, it's chauvinism. When a good guy says it about us, then we have such nachas, you know, we fall apart. But he writes it very beautifully. The impact that an Avraham had on the world changed the entire face of the world and changed all of world history. And the fact is that the Rambam had described Avraham as the mighty one, the great genius who emerged from Aram Naharayim and brought a message to the world. What was his message? Mitziyut Hashem, that is the existence of God. What was Yitzchak's great contribution? I think that Yitzchak's contribution was so unusual, so exceptional. Avraham is commanded by God to take his one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice upon the altar. So I understand why Avraham goes to the Akedah. Why does Yitzchak, when he finds out, why does he willingly go to the Akedah? Not for the same reason that Avraham does. Avraham goes because he heard it from God. Who did Yitzchak hear it from? He heard it from Avraham. But do you know what Yitzchak believes? That his father receives prophecy from God. And that up to this moment in history, the greatest of all prophets is Avraham. He believes in Torah and Hashamayim, and he's ready to give his life for it. the first one who's ready to be Mosa Nefesh for Torah ben Hashamayim, because he believes that God communicates with men through prophecy, and God spoke to his father and told him to do this. So the Avram is the pillar of Metziut Hashem, the existence of God. Yitzchak is Torah ben Hashamayim. About Yaakov, we don't have to talk, because the Medrash and all of the Psukim, all of the Parshat of Yaakov, Yaakov is the symbol of Jewish history. He is the symbol of the one. What is the deal that he makes with God when he has that dream and he sees the angels of heaven going up and down the ladder? God, you'll be with me, you'll feed me, and you will clothe me. I'm going to come back here, and you're going to be my God, and I'm going to build a house to you here. Yaakov, every step of his life, is the story of divine providence. God marches with Yaakov wherever he goes. And in his final journey, when he's ready to go down to Mitzrayim to see his son Yosef, God says to him, Anochi eireidimcha, I'm going to go down with you. V'anochi eelcha gam olo, and I'm going to come up with you. Do you know what Yaakov represents in his entire life's experience? Hashgacha pratis, divine providence. God is with him every step of the way. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov represent the three pillars of the faith. Next, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. What's Pesach? You know what Pesach is? The slaughtering of the Korban Pesach is shattering the idols of Mitzrayim. Isn't that what Avram Avinu did? Didn't Avram Avinu shatter the idols of his parents and the idols of his whole civilization and society? You know the famous Medrash. Everybody learned it when they were in kindergarten or in grade one. I thought I never went to kindergarten. I think I suffered from it until today. Okay? Oh no, they didn't have kindergartens in my days. Started in grade one. So there's the famous Medrash, the Medrash that says that his parents had an idol store, and they had to go out once, and they left him idol sitting. So he had to take care of them, but the idols didn't remain idols. They started. He took an axe and he chopped them all up, and he left one, and he put the axe in the idol's hand. Parents come home and they see a churban vaseitz. Gott in Himmel, what's going to be with all of our gechkes, you understand? Yeah. So Avram says to him, I cannot tell a lie. The big idol chopped down all the other idols. So he says, what are you doing? It's an idol. This gechkel went ahead and so he tells them, Shmana Oznachal, let your ears hear what your mouth has said. Didn't you just now say that they can't do anything? I mean, it's a beautiful story, but the Rambam understands this story. The beauty of the Medrash is, I mean, it doesn't really mean that Avram went ahead and chopped up idols. I think he would have asked the Shaila first, you know, can you destroy something that belongs to somebody else? You know, he'd have to ask the Shaila, can you do that? What it means is that intellectually, he shattered the idols of his time. That's how the Rambam understands the Medrash. When Klal Yisrael slaughtered the Korban Pesach, they are shattering the idols of their time. Pesach, God again, it rules as king of the world. Shavuos is obviously the next pillar. What's Shavuos? Shavuos speaks for itself. Shavuos is Matan Torah, Torah at Sinai, Torah from heaven. Sukkos is clearly the story of Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence. It represents the 40 years in the desert with the clouds of glory, the Sukkot, that take Klal Yisrael through the desert. And for that matter, doesn't the Sukkalah represent to us through all periods of time? How does the song go? Our Sukkalah, our Kleiner, from Gretel of Gemeinde, Habichs of Gemacht, you know, little Sukkah, really doesn't have great strength. I don't know the song, a Yiddish song, so beautiful song. I'm not in the mood to sing this one. This is a Torah take, not a... All right? But the whole Sukkah represents the fact that we are open to God, and He is the one that... He is the one who protects us. because Sukkos represents Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence. All right, so what do we have now? We have Malchus, Sophronus, and Shofros, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. I'll give you another one. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. So Sukkos we're going to have to take care of, but we're going to have to explain Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What's Rosh Hashanah? What's Rosh Hashanah? Zayom Tchilat Masecha. This is the story of creation. What does Rosh Hashanah speak of? Rosh Hashanah speaks of creation of the world. Do you know what Rosh Hashanah is? Like the Friday night Shmoneh Esrei. You created the world. You brought it into being. All of Rosh Hashanah is exclaiming that there is a God, that we believe in Him. What is Yom Kippur? Oh, what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is really the culmination and the conclusion of Shavuos. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Shavuos in order to receive the Ten Commandments. When did he indeed bring the Ten Commandments down to the Jewish people? When did they receive it? When did they get the tablets? The first ones, he came down on Shavuos Batamis and he shattered them. He went up for another 40 days until God tells him, make another set of luchot. When does Torah finally come to the Jewish people? Yom Kippur, that first Yom Kippur, he came down with the luchot avanim in his hand. Rosh Hashanah is Metziyat Hashem, the existence of God. Yom Kippur is Torah min Hashemayim, and Sukkos is the Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence. Anybody want to take any chances? Maybe not. Don't take chances. You don't have to wait for Rosh Hashanah. For that matter, you don't have to wait for the three Shmoneh Esreis of Shabbos. Give you a better one. Birchat Hamazon. There are a total of four brachot in Birchat Hamazon. The first three are min HaTorah. The fourth one, who yated lanu, was written after the Bar Kokhba rebellion. We'll get to that. What are the brachot? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. First bracha. Hazon et Olam Kulo, God who sustains and feeds the whole world. Bechein, Bechesed, V'rachamim. Who notein lechem l'chol basar, he gives bread to all flesh. Kilelem chazdo. You know what's interesting in this first bracha? Go through the first bracha of benching. There is absolutely no mention of the Jewish people. No mention of a unique relationship between us and God. In the first bracha of benching, we are describing a universal God who created a whole world, and therefore he sustains all flesh. It's his responsibility, and in his goodness, who kales on with farnes lakol, he is a God who feeds and sustains all, who makes tif lakol, and is good to all, he prepares food for all of the creatures, Asher Barra, that he created. What are we talking about? Who is God in this first bracha of Birchat Hamazon? The universal God who created heaven and earth. He is the God of the Friday night Shmoneh Esrei. Ato Kidashto, you're the one who created the whole world. Vayechulu Hashemayim V'haretz. God, in that sense, is eternal. He's not only ours. There is no special relationship between God and the Jewish people as a result of creation. Eternal and universal. Hazon et Hakol. He sustains and he feeds everybody. Everybody and everything and every creature. In the second bracha, we go from the universal to the particular. Nodelecha, we thank you. Hashem Elokeinu, God, our God, Al Shinchalto La'avoteinu, that you gave as an inheritance to our fathers, Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava, a desirous land that's good and broad. I imagine the Rebbeinu Shlomo believes in greater Eretz Yisrael Hashlema. That's not political. I imagine Rechava doesn't mean until the June 4th lines. I think the Rebbeinu Shlomo includes the, other parts. I tell you, for months now, I don't watch the news. Last night I decided I wanted to watch the news, but it wasn't on yet. We have become crazy people. It was on Dan Bargalit asks Yoel Ben Nun, don't you think that the outbreak of anti-Semitism in the world is because of the settlements? 2,000 years of anti-Semitism, and they discovered America. Do you understand why there's anti-Semitism in the world? There's anti-Semitism in the world because of it. Did I be out of the crazy mind? As the what did he answer? I'll tell you, I was so enraged. because Yoel Ben Nun was outnumbered over there. You know, there was Uri of Neri, you understand, the guy with two left feet and two left hands, and about the terrible suffering we have caused the Palestinian people. But that's it. There's a new reason for anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is because of settlements. I said, what are you going to do with 2,000 years minus 30 years? Why was there anti-Semitism? I mean, it's the same nonsense, like we always used to say, in communist countries they hated Jews because they were capitalists. In capitalist countries they hated Jews because they're communists. In democracies they hated them because they're fascists. In fascist countries they hate... It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The second bracha invention goes from the universal to the particular. You know what else we thank God for? Not only did he give us this land, that he took us out of Egypt, that he redeemed us from the house of slavery, for Brit Milah, Va'al, Toracha Shalimadatanu, the Torah you taught us, Valchukecha Shahudatanu, the statutes that you let us know. The second bracha of benching is talking about the great gift of Torah min HaShemayim. It's all based on Torah min HaShemayim. When we get into the third bracha, and I'll tell you, that third bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, you have to have of benching, you have to have a lot of kavanah. I think it has to be said with a great deal of kavanah, especially in our days, certainly those of us who live in Yerushalayim. A bracha that ends with a V'nei Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, B'meheiro V'yameinu. Racheim no Hashem Elokeinu, Rebbein Shem HaRachmanes, Al Yisrael Amecha, Al Yerushalayim Irecha, HaRachmanes on your city, Yerushalayim, Val Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha, Val Malchus Beis Dov Mishichecha. Do you know what we're talking about in this third bracha? This third bracha sounds like what I described the mincha of Shabbos, an otherworldly kind of bracha. We're talking about a time, Rabbeinu Shalom, have mercy on Malchus Beis David, the king of the house of David, and then Elokeinu, Avinu, Re'enu, Zeneinu, Faneseinu, and give us all of those things back again. We're looking forward to Malchus Beis David and B'nai Yerushalayim. What are we talking about? We're describing God in his unique relationship with us of Hashgacha Pratis, that he's involved with us. Re'enu, Zuneinu, Farneseinu, be our shepherd, our father, our God, feed and sustain us. V'harvach lano Hashem Elokeinu, I make it easier, speedily mikol tzaraseinu, from all of our tzaras. I mean, this is a bracha that clearly is enunciating the principle of hashgacha pratis, that there's divine providence. Three brachas of benching, and the three brachas of benching represent the three main pillars of the faith. The fourth bracha, the fact is, the fourth bracha is going to include all the previous three, because if the first bracha in benching is really in the present tense. You should notice that sometimes it's all in the present tense. Hazon, one who feeds. Who knows saying lechem, he gives bread to all. Ongoing. The bracha of Noda Lecha is, we thank you for what you gave us in the past. You gave us the land, you gave us Eretz Yisrael, you gave us Torah. The third bracha, Rachina, is all speaking into the future. In the fourth bracha, we include them all. Who hated, who made it, who yated. Who gmalanu, who gomlenu, who gmalenu. Past, present, future. All of them together. The three brachas of benching. I don't think it's going too far afield to say that we are clearly enunciating over there the three major principles of the faith. Malchus et Ranas Yishefas. Alright, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Doesn't the Mishnah someplace over there say that one should always know that there is Ayin Ro'ah, an eye that sees, Ozen Shomat, an ear that hears, V'chol Ma'asecha Ba'Seif Nechtavim, and everything that you do is written down in a book. If you think of these three things, you will not sin. There's an Ayin Ro'ah, an Ozen Shomat, V'chol Ma'asecha Ba'Seif Nechtavim. Kol Ma'asecha Ba'Seif Nechtavim is clearly divine providence. He knows what we do and what we think, and he records it. What's Ozen Shomat? There's one place in Rashi and Chumash where the halacha in Parashat Mishpatim is that a person is a slave, a Hebrew slave, for 7 years, and then if he doesn't want to leave, so you're supposed to bore a hole in the ear of the slave who says, Ahavtias Adoni, I love my master, I don't want to go out free. Why do you bore a hole in his ear? So Rashi says, Ozen zu sheshoma al har Sinai. This ear that heard at Mount Sinai, that Israel are slaves unto me, and he wants to have a master of his own. Let the ear be bored. You know what hearing represents? Torah min hashamayim. That's what ears are supposed to hear. We have to hear the voice of Sinai. Ayin ro'ah. Ah. Yeshayahu says it. And I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago in the Haftorah. Yeshayahu says to the Jewish people, Su'u Marom Einechem Uru'u Mi Bara Eile. Lift your eyes up and see who created all of this. You know what eyes are supposed to see? Eyes are supposed to see that there's a God who's creator. Su'u Marom Einechem. Lift up your eyes and see Mi Bara Eile. An eye that can see, is an eye that sees the existence of God. An ear that hears is an ear that hears the voice that emanates from Sinai. V'chol ma'asecha ba'seif l'chtavim. Here you have, in these three phrases, you have the three pillars of the faith. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofarot. By the way, I don't remember who it was that said it. In those words of Yeshayahu, Su'u, Marom Einechem. What are the first letters of Su'u Marom Einechem? There's a Shin, a Mem, and an Ayin, Shema. Even in your seeing, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Re'u Mi Bara Eile. See who created this. I'll give you two more. I'll give you two more, and with that we will close. And then, of course, you'll have time during davening the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. You'll go through, you'll see the psukim of Malachi Yisrael, as you show. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful psukim. And by the way, I just want to caution you. It doesn't mean that any time you come up against a sentence or a phrase that's three, it's going to fit in. Because usually after I give a shiur like this, I'm going to come to me, Kohen Levi Yisrael, right? The three matzahs of the night are the same. You know, it's like, it's not every three is going to work. It has to be, a recognized, authorized three. It doesn't just work. You can't push it in. It has to flow. It has to flow naturally. There are three parashiyot of Shema. Shema, Vohoyom Shemoa, and Vayomer. That's one. We'll get to them in a moment. There are also, in the morning, there are three brachot of Kriyat Shema. Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech until Yotzer HaMa'orot, the bracha of Avo Rabo or Avat Olam, and then you have the bracha of Ezrat Yisrael, which ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Gaal Yisrael. Each one of the three describes a completely different picture of God and His relationship with the Jewish people. You take that first bracha, you go through, we say it every day. Yotzer Or, God who creates light, Uvorei Choshech, brought into being darkness. Uvorei Es Hakol, He creates everything. We talk about God, Creator, Hameir La'oretz V'la'dorim Elel, the one who brings light to the whole world and all those who live upon it. And we're describing God, the Creator, from there all the way to the bracha of Yotzer Hama'oro, God who creates light. That whole bracha is a universal one to a whole world that are God's creatures. It's just like the first bracha in benching. It's describing God, the creator of the world, the universal God, the God of all, who brought everything into being. It's like the Friday night Shmon Esrei by Yechulu Hashomerim V'Oretz. It's talking about the Hameyel La'oretz V'la'dorim Olam, but God who brings light to the world and all who live upon the face of this earth with great mercy. Every day in His goodness, He renews the act of creation. This is a description of a God who exists. This is a description of the God of Friday night. This is the God that was discovered by Avraham Avinu, the one who saw a world that was brought into being. Oh, but when we go into the bracha of Ahavat Olam, Ahavat Olam is specific. Halachically, it's specific. Ahavat Olam, you loved us, an eternal love, and how did you express this love? Because you gave us Torah. You gave it, V'atalan ben chukechayim v'asot etzom chabalei v'sholem. V'ho'ed einenu b'toratecha. God's great love for us is expressed by virtue of the fact that He gave us Torah. When I say that it's also of halachic significance, because the halacha is that if a person forgot to say Birchat HaTorah before davening, and by Avat Olam he had in mind that this should be his Birchat HaTorah, he fulfills the mitzvah, because the bracha of Avat Olam talks about God who gave Torah to the Jewish people. And then from Ezrat until Gal Yisrael, what are we describing over there? God is with us. Hashgacha brought us. He saved us. He took us out of the house of slavery. Yedidim, His loved ones, He took them across the Yamsuf, the Redeemer of Israel. The three brachot of Shema are the three pillars of Jewish faith. Mitziyot Hashem, Torah min HaShemayim, and Hashgacha Pratis. And the three chapters of Shema. So I don't have to talk much about Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is the pasuk of Malchius. That's the pasuk that expresses God's kingdom in the world. What's the whole parasha for Hoyam Shemoa about? Hoyam Shemoa is Torah Min Hashemayim. If you will keep the mitzvahs, it will be good. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, it won't be good. If you keep the mitzvahs, I will give rain in its proper time. If you don't, the heavens are going to be sealed and shut. We need rain. We need rain badly. And there it says it clearly, Vayom Shema, there will be rain. Because the second parasha of Shema is the parasha of Torah. And the Gemara says it. Why does the parasha of the Gemara, the Mishnah says, why does the parasha of Shema precede the parasha of Vayom Shema? So that a person should accept upon himself all Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and afterwards he should accept upon himself all mitzvot, the yoke of the mitzvot. So the first parasha of Shema is Mitzvot Hashem. The second parasha, Vayom Shema, is Torah Ben Hashemayim. Parashat Tzitzit, the Gemara says, why is Parashat Tzitzit mentioned? Because Parashat Tzitzit has in it, at its end, it talks about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. That's why we say it. And if that's why we say it, then you know what Parashat Tzitzit represents? Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence. That he is with us in a time of travail and sorrow, and he saves us. So there you have Malchus and Thronus and Shofros, three great pillars of the faith. Rabbi Yosef Elgo says that they represent the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam, and therefore on Rosh Hashanah, it behooves and befits a Jew to again rededicate himself to the creed and faith of the Jewish people. And I hope that your Musaf Rosh Hashanah is going to be a bit more meaningful this year. Thank you.